You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And to get this show every day, I need you to subscribe to Locked On Mets, wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, Himalaya. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now, on today's show, I'm going to continue my report card grades with Joe Panik and Luis Guillorme. In the first half, I'm going to talk about Joe Panik and his season when he came over to the Mets. And then later, I'm going to talk about Luis Guillorme and which player fits this Mets roster better in 2020. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMirageOnline.com. All right, so on August 9th, the Mets signed Joe Panik after he was DFA'd from the San Francisco Giants, a move that, coming into the season, probably would have been really shocking when it came to Panik. This was a guy that was a World Series hero at one point in his career, making a great defensive play in the 2014 World Series against the Royals. He was an All-Star. He won a Gold Glove. But things really went downhill for him this season as he hit .235 with the Giants. His OPS was .627 as he had a .310 on base percentage and a .317 slugging percentage. Without getting a lot of offensive production from him, the Giants decided to move on and waive him. And with the Mets needing another infielder after cutting ties with Adani Echevarria, they decided to scoop up Panik, and all of a sudden, he proved to be a really nice contributor for them as Robinson Cano was on the IL, Jeff McNeil was out. He bridged a gap for a time and played really well. He's a New York native, and so there was that narrative that was played up throughout the season. Seemed like he liked being in New York. He ended up batting .277 across 39 games and 103 plate appearances with the Mets. Had a .333 on base percentage, .404 slugging percentage, for a .738 OPS. Not incredible numbers, but still much better than what he did with the Giants. I have talked about OPS Plus so far in the offseason, a statistic that tries to give you a general idea of what a player is worth based on a league average of 100. And with the Giants, Panik's OPS Plus was 69, but with the Mets, it was 98. So he was about an average player with the Mets. Two home runs, 12 RBIs, and he scored 17 runs. And then the other thing to look at with Joe Panik is how he played defensively with Fangraphs. You can't really differentiate from what he did with the Giants and what he did with the Mets. So for a full season, his defensive runs saved at second base was -3. His ultimate zone rating, however, painted a more pretty picture with a +2.2. So overall, at this point in his career, I think you can say that Panik's Gold Glove days are behind him, but he is still sure-handed. So altogether, what do you grade out his season with the Mets? For him, I have to put this into some context because they picked him up off the scrap heap at a time when they could have really used some production. He gave them some really good at-bats, played really well for a good stretch. So as a Met, for what they were asking from him, from what he was acquired for, I give him a solid B. I really do. He didn't do anything outstanding, but when you have someone who played to a different level the whole year and you could have expected him to continue to play at that subpar standard that he set with the Giants to come in, to fill a role, and to be a part of a second half push, I think you have to give him a solid B. He did a very nice job for the Mets down the stretch. Now, where does that leave him when it comes to his future with the club? Well, the first part of this is the fact that he will not be just outright kept on the roster. Because if the Mets keep him on the roster and push him through arbitration, he's expected to make $5.1 million next year. There is no chance that the Mets are going to spend $5.1 million on an infielder that, by the time Cano and McNeil came back, couldn't see the field at the end of this season. Now you expect Jed Lowry to potentially factor into the mix in 2020. I just don't see how someone like that is worth $5.1 million, but I don't really see a clear role for him. What his role would potentially be is as a backup utility infielder, which is something that a Luis Guillorme, who I'm going to talk about in the second half, might fit better. The one path that Panic does have to come back to the Mets that I can envision is the Mets don't keep him, obviously. He becomes a free agent. No one else offers him a contract. He's out in the market for a while. Maybe he comes back to the Mets on a minor league deal with a chance to win a job out of spring training. I don't think that that would be something that's out of the realm of possibility. Someone who probably liked being with the Mets, if he doesn't have any other major league opportunities, you can fit him into that Adany Echevarria type role that we saw this year. And if injuries clear up spots, someone like that could be on your roster starting for a significant amount of time. So I do think that there's a chance that Panic factors into the plans for 2020. I just do not think he will be penciled in to the payroll and the opening day roster from the jump before we get into spring training. I just don't see that happening. But Luis Guillorme stands a much better chance of being factored in overall. So we're going to talk about him in just a minute. Whether you're catching a game, a concert, or a show, Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via their Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Vivid Seats helps fans find seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concert, theater, and more, all through the Vivid Seats app. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as an in-app loyalty program, Vivid Seats Rewards. Go to your App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are then automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program and will enjoy credits on all their purchases as part of Vivid Seats Rewards. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable alternative to Viagra and Cialis with the same FDA-approved active ingredients, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no more waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, I've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, Mets fans, let's talk about Luis Guillorme, because to me, Guillorme makes a lot of sense to be on the Mets bench next season in that backup utility infielder role. Now, it's not that far-fetched to see the Mets go in that direction because Guillorme made the roster this year out of spring training to play that very role. Guillorme got 19 plate appearances in April and March, and he just did not hit for the Mets early on, striking out in 6 of those plate appearances, drawing 1 walk, recording just 3 hits. Overall, he had a 167 batting average, a 211 on-base percentage, and a slugging percentage of 167. So clearly he did not look like he was ready to face big league pitching or adapt to that bench role. Whatever it may be, the Mets chose to send him down to AAA, where he basically spent a majority of the first half of the season. In AAA, playing for the Syracuse Mets, Guillorme played pretty well. He hit to a .307 batting average, .412 on base percentage, good for a slugging percentage of .452, which was a career high. He also had a career high .864 OPS, 7 home runs, 12 doubles, 32 RBIs. He also scored 33 runs in 69 games. So after playing well in the minor leagues, Guillorme found himself back with the big league club, and he played much better in the second half. Guillorme played in 30 games, got 48 plate appearances, drew 6 walks, and struck out just 7 times. Altogether, he hit for a .300 average, a .391 OPS, and his slugging percentage was .475, good for an .866 OPS. Small sample size, obviously, but this shows you a lot of progression in his game. He hit 1 home run, had 3 RBIs, had 4 doubles. So, altogether, you really liked what you saw out of Guillorme down the stretch. Every single time we saw him get an at-bat, the Mets were making that playoff run, it seemed like it was a quality at-bat. He was seeing a lot of pitches, getting into 3-2 counts, eventually working walks, finding ways to get base hits. He just seemed like a much more confident hitter, someone who was no longer fazed by the bright lights of the big league stage. And as he just turned 25 at the end of September, there is a lot to like about the future of Guillorme as a potential bench piece. The biggest value that he brings, of course, is his glove. Guillorme did not even play 50 innings at second base, third base, or shortstop, but he still posted 1 defensive run save at second and 1 defensive run save at short. It's hard to measure anyone defensively on a small sample size like that, but what I will say is from everything we have seen from Luis Guillorme, he is going to be an exceptional fielder. I don't think there's anyone who's questioning that. His glove has always been great. The question has always been, can the bat catch up? And it seems, at least down the stretch, and from what he did in the minor leagues, that the bat is catching up. If I was going to grade Luis Guillorme's season, I almost would have to give him an incomplete like I've given the injured guys in the past. He just has not gotten enough run. I don't really want to give him a strict grade for what he was able to do. I just don't think he got enough time. But what I will say is in the future, I think he can be a nice piece to this team. One thing you have to understand is that next year, the rosters will be expanding. The Mets will have a 26-man roster. So that opens up a spot for a player like Guillorme, who's a good base runner, good defensively, to come in and make an impact without having to be concerned about whether or not he can come through in big spots as a pinch hitter. It's not as vital. Now, with that being said, I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility that Guillorme becomes a pretty decent hitter. He does have a career batting average of .289. Across over 600 games in the minor leagues, he has a career OPS of .368. So for someone who would maybe get a spot start and be inserted into the eighth hole of the lineup, if he can get himself on base for other guys to maybe drive him in, that's not a bad player, especially when he's bringing you potential elite production on the defensive side of the ball. To me, it just does not make any sense to bring Joe Panik back next year with the presence of Guillorme. When you factor in the fact that you are going to have Jed Lowrie or Jeff McNeil as a fixture at third base, depending on Lowrie's health. The other one to be available to, you know, spot a Robinson Cano or a Pete Alonso at some point. Although you would expect that Pete Alonso and Amed Rosario would continue to play nearly every single day and not really need any days off, assuming health. So with all that being said, what value does Joe Panik really bring on a major league deal. I just don't see the need for him to come back, especially when he is not nearly as versatile positionally, really only able to play second base and first base. So the only way, as I alluded to in the first half, that I see Panic coming back to the Mets is on a minor league deal a la Adany Echeverria this season. Someone who you can stash away in Syracuse for him, which might make sense as a New York kid. And if the opportunity arises where Cano goes down or something like that, he can find himself on the big league roster if he was tearing the cover off the ball or something. I mean, that's the type of guy that you want to stash away, as you did with Echeverria, Danny Espinosa, Carlos Gomez, all those guys that were on those minor league contracts in Syracuse. So I think that might be a way that you can keep both guys in the organization. But to me, Guillorme has an inside edge at making the opening day roster with what he showed at the end of the season this year. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.